Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The chapter on the Hayl, part 2. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulihil Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma zidna ilma. Allahumma faqihna fi din. Allahumma ja'alna mimma yastami'un al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-'aliyyi al-'azhim. Amma ba'd, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's beneficial class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on the chapter of the Tahara. And inshallah tonight we will be covering the text in the chapter of Al-Hayd, or the menses. And to begin, as a reminder for all of us, that learning about the rulings of the Hayd and the Tahara is very important, because these are matters of the religion. And it's a difference between having our prayers accepted or not. And if a woman or a man, he doesn't learn these rulings, then where else are they going to learn them? If they don't learn the ahkam pertaining to the tahara, the purification, many young people, they don't know these things. Many people, when they grow up, they never had a chance to learn about these rulings. So they end up spending a large part of their life in ignorance about the very important aspects of purification. And so it's very important that we learn what is halal and haram, what is commanded by Prophet Muhammad in terms of the matters of purification. So, inshallah, today we'll be discussing the hadith narrated by Humna, may Allah be pleased with it. So, inshallah, I'll start with the hadith, and we will go over the commentary and the explanation by the ulama, inshallah ta'ala. And if we have time, we'll read another hadith in this chapter, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So the hadith, inshallah, let us go together and read it in Arabic, inshallah. وَعَنْ هُمْنَ بِنْتْ جِحَشْ قَالَتْ كُنْتُ أَسْتَحَاضُ حَيْضَةً كَثِيرًا شَدِيدًا فَأَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَسْتَفْتِيهِ فقال إنما هي ركضة من الشيطان إنما هي ركضة من الشيطان فتحيضي ستة أيام أو سبعة أيام ثم اغتسلي. Okay, so this hadith here is narrated by a Sahabiya. Her name is Humna, the daughter of Jahash. And she said that I used to have the irregular menses, the irregular bleeding, which was very much and very strong. Very much and very strong. So I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I asked him for the ruling on it. He said that is a kick from the shaytan. So when you have your menses, it will be for 6 or 7 days and then take the ghusl, take the shower. So this is the text of the hadith. Here we have the Sahabiyya Anjalina, the noble Sahabiyya. Her name is Humna binti Jahash. And she was one of three sisters that were the daughters of Jahash. One of them was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, Zainab binti Jahash. Humna was one of the sisters. And the issue that she's asking about here is that related to the something that ran in her family. Because the Jahash daughters, all three of them, they had an issue with the menses, with what is called the istihada, the irregular bleeding outside of the normal time of menses. And here the physicians, they say that the hayd, it has a strong connection to the genetics. In terms of how regular or irregular it is, or how much that the blood flows, this is strongly related to the genetics in the family. So here we see that Humna, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said she had a large amount of irregular bleeding outside of the menses. In fact, one narration she said it flows out like a stream, flows out so much blood outside or irregular. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do this and pray. Do the ghusl and pray. After he gave her the explanation of when the menses would be, even if the blood were to flow out like onto the mat, explaining that. And so this istihada that she had, it was a large amount of blood. The irregular bleeding, it wasn't a small amount, it was a large amount of blood. So she wanted to ask the Prophet ﷺ what to do in that case. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, that blood that you're seeing outside of the normal menses, it is a kick from the shaitan. A kick from the shaitan. So here the ulama, they said, what does it mean, the rakta, the kick from the shaitan? Some of the ulama, they took the word literally. They said, literally the shaitan kicks the woman in her womb to make it bleed, so the blood gushes out. And he does this so that she will have a confusion about her cycle, and so that it will make it difficult for her to make tahara and confuse her in the matter of religion. So some of them, they said literally the shaitan kicks the woman in the womb and gushes some blood from the vessels in the womb, and this is the blood that she sees irregularly. And he wanted to confuse the woman about her menses so that she will be it will be difficult for her to practice her religion. Other ulama, they said that it could be taken in a metaphorical way. The doctors, they call this type of bleeding uterine bleeding, intrauterine bleeding. That's not part of the normal menstrual cycle. They call it intrauterine bleeding, this kind of blood that comes out outside of a normal time. So in any case, whichever the case is, if it's a literal kick of the shaitan, or if it's in the understanding of the doctors, the causes of it are many. There are many causes for this irregular bleeding. And the words of the Prophet ﷺ, it's a kick from the shaitan, this indicates for the woman that it's not an illness that she should be ashamed of. It's not something in her control that she did incorrectly, but it's caused by the shaitan to do that. So it's not her fault, she has no control over it. No. So, and it's not an illness that she should be concerned about. It's a harm caused by the shaitan. Okay, so what was the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to Humna, to a woman, she came, the Sahabiya. He said to her, consider your menses 6 or 7 days. Consider the menses 6 or 7 days. So here, what the physicians, they say that a woman normally, her menses is 8 days. But the Prophet ﷺ, he's giving her an average. The average, the most common number of days is 6 or 7 days for the woman. This is the average, the common menses that the women, they have. And it could be even up to 10 days. And it could be as little as 1 or 2 days. This is something that happens amongst women. But the most common thing is 6 or 7 days. And so in this case, in the case of Humna, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said she had this very strong bleeding outside of the menses. And if you recall from last week, there was another hadith that we took that was narrated by the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And in that case, when Fatima binti Abi Hubaysh, she came and mentioned that she had the irregular bleeding, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, he told her to look for the difference in the color. He said that the menstrual bleeding is a dark blood, dark, aswad yu'raf. It is dark and it's well known amongst women. Another narration, he said it is dark and it has an odor. And the irregular bleeding, it is red and it doesn't have the odor. So he told her to look when it changes in the color, then she knows that the menstruation has finished. But in this case, he didn't tell Humna to look at the color. And here the scholars, they say the reason for that is that most likely she could not, there was no difference in the color. Because she would have already known that and practiced that. She would have, he would have given her that explanation, to look at the color. But he didn't give her that explanation. He told her to stay 6 or 7 days in your hayl, in your menses. After that, wash, and the rest of it, you can pray. The rest of it after that, you can pray. So, the scholars say in the case of Humna, the reason why he told her to choose 6 days or 7 days is that she couldn't tell a difference in the color. And so what does a woman do if she has the bleeding all the time and there's no change in the color? And it's continuous all the time, 30 days of the month. This is a different case of istihaba, a different case of irregular bleeding. Now, so in this case, what does she do? What she has to do is she chooses the beginning and end of her cycle. She chooses a beginning. Say she says the first of the month until the sixth of the month. This will be, she considers that her menses. And during that time, the Prophet ﷺ told Humna, choose 6 days. He said, you make your hayb, your menstruation with Allah Ta'ala, because in reality we don't know what it is. But with Allah, your hayd is going to be 6 or 7 days. And how does she know when it begins? She chooses herself. She picks a day, and she says, this is the day where I'm going to consider it the beginning of my menses. And then she counts 6 days from that day, or seven, because this is what the most common state is amongst women who have a normal cycle. And after those 7 days are over, what does she do? She takes a shower, a ghusl, and then she can pray after that. So she chooses a day to begin, and then she counts 6 days or 7 days, because this is what is most common amongst women that have a normal cycle. And then after that, she considers that she's become purified, and then she makes the ghusl and prays after that. This is in the case when she cannot notice any difference in the color or odor of the blood or the type of blood. So this is what she would do. And so during those 6 days, she doesn't pray. When a woman has her menses, she doesn't fast, and she cannot have the marriage relations during those 6 or 7 days. It's not allowed for her to do that. Then after that, when the time is over, even though the physical blood is still there, she considers it that her menses is over. She takes the ghusl, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, if you consider your menses 6 or 7 days, and then take a shower, and if you have become pure, then pray for the rest of the, or pray for 24 days or 23 days. And fast and pray, and that is, and that will suffice you. This was the words of the Prophet ﷺ. So what happened? He said, 6 or 7 days, you don't pray, you don't fast, no marriage relations. Then, when you become pure. But does she become pure? Didn't she just say that she has the bleeding all the time? So what does he mean, when you become pure? When the 6 or 7 days are over, when you become pure in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Because this is Allah's hukum. This is not a hukum that she can see, but because this is a ruling that the Prophet ﷺ gave her, so your purity with Allah Ta'ala. That is, an interpreted type of purity. Then on that time, she will become purified in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. And then she can do the ghusl, and she can pray, even if she does see the blood after that. The blood will be there. But she prays and she fasts. And she can she continues her marital relations. Although some of the ulama, according to the physicians, they discourage that in that state because of the health reasons. But in terms of Sharia, there's no prohibition of her to continue in the marital relation. So she counts the days. And so these days she's going to do it according to the regular calendar, the lunar calendar. She's going to consider her menses 7 days, and then 23 days, she's pure. Or her menses are 6 days, and 24 days, she's pure. This is what the Prophet ﷺ advised Hamna binti Jahash. Now, وَصُمِّ وَصَلِّ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ يُجْزِكِ يُجْزِكِ. So, fast and pray, and that will suffice you. That will suffice you. So this is the case. Yes, Father?
Sheikh, one question. What about in the case that make an Umrah?
Yes.
Like in the Haram, is it permissible?
Good question. No. For a woman in her menses, she's not allowed to abide or to stay permanently in the masjid or to make the tawaf. But when she has the irregular menses, the istihada, so she has the ruling of a pure woman. Even if there is the bleeding afterwards. Because that is an exception to the general rule. Otherwise she would never be able to pray. She would never be able to fast. So she wouldn't be able to do her hajj or her umrah. So that, when she has the menses, then she shouldn't do her tawaf or her umrah or her hajj. When the menses are over and she has the irregular bleeding, the istihada, either she knows that by the change in the color, which we talked about last week, that it becomes bright red instead of the dark red, or she knows it by this example here, where the color doesn't change, she chooses the 6 days or 7 days, and every month she follows that pattern. Then when those days are over, she does the ghusl, and she can perform her prayers and do her hajj and do her umrah after that, inshallah. Was that what your question was?
Yeah.
Okay, jazakallah khair. No. Okay, so this is what the ruling here. So after the days are over, and she does the ghusl, and she considers the rest of the 23 days purity, and she can do everything that a pure woman would do. Right? This is the answer. Anything that a woman who's in a state of purity, she can do that. She prays, she fasts, and she can do the hajj and the umrah and resume the spousal relations according to Sharia. Now, okay, so كَذَٰلِكَ فَفْعَلِي فِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he advised her, do it that way every month, just like any other woman who has the normal menses. Now, okay, so here in the end he says, then you take a shower, do the ghusl, and this is what a woman has to do when the haid is over, the menses, she has to take the shower at the end of those days that she set aside, and after that, if the Prophet ﷺ advised Hamna, he said, if you have strength, in quwwati, then delay your dhuhr until to the time of Asr, and bring ahead the time of Asr. Delay dhuhr and bring early the time of Asr, then do your ghusl, and then you will be pure. Now, so here, the Prophet ﷺ, he advised her to do the ghusl for every two prayers. When there's the dhuhr and the asr, he said, delay dhuhr till the end of its time, and bring asr to the earliest time, and do a ghusl, and then pray those two prayers. And he said this, if you have the strength for it. And then the same thing for Maghrib and Isha. Delay Maghrib to the end of the time, and bring Isha to the early time, and do another ghusl. And then pray Maghrib and Isha. And then for Fajr, make a ghusl and pray the Fajr prayer. He said, in quwwati, if you have the strength. So this was an advice for Hamna. Now, but in the case that it's difficult for her, there's no water, or it's too cold, then She didn't have to do this. He said, "In qawwiti," if you were strong, then you should do that. Now, so here the reason for this advice from the Prophet ﷺ is that it would be more pure and more perfect for her purification. Now, to do this type of joining between the prayers. Now, ثُمَّ تَغْتَسِلِينَ. Now, so here, what is meant by joining the prayers, it's not actually physically joining the prayers. We talked about this previously, that she doesn't actually pray Asr in the time of Dhuhr, or pray Dhuhr in the time of Asr, but she delays the one prayer and brings one early, so their times are close to each other, and does a single ghusl during that time, and this is more perfect. Now, so it's not a real joining of the prayers, but it's an advice for her, if she had the strength for it, in order to be more pure and more perfect. Now, and then the end of the hadith, then she says, then the text, it says, وَهُوَ أَعْجَبُ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِلَيَّا. And doing this ghusl for every two prayers and for the fajr, the text says, it is most beloved to me. It is more or the most beloved to me. And here are these words, the ulama, they differed as to who these words are from. Are these the words of the Prophet ﷺ, that is more beloved to me that you do the ghusl three times in a day? Or is it the words of Hanna herself? That she said, I love to do this because it's more pure. And the strongest view is that these are the words of Hanna. They're not the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Hanna herself, she wanted to be more pure, so she said, this is more beloved to me, that one do the ghusl three times in the day, once for Dhuhr and Asr, once for Maghrib and Isha, and once for Fajr. That is the strongest view amongst the ulama. Now, okay, so let us go on. Let us summarize this hadith, inshallah, and the one before, just so we're clear, inshallah ta'ala. If the bleeding that the woman experiences, if there's the first advice of the Prophet ﷺ to Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, is that if she notices that the dark blood changes and it becomes bright red, and it doesn't have the odor, then that is the way that signals she knows that her menses are over and this is irregular bleeding. If she doesn't notice a change and the blood is constant throughout the cycle, then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, let her choose the 6 days. She chooses the beginning and she stays 6 or 7 days in the hayat with Allah Ta'ala, and then after that she does the ghusl and she prays like any other woman. So this is the second case. This is the second case. Now there's one other case. There's one other case that we're going to talk about, inshallah, and of the istihada, of the irregular bleeding, inshallah ta'ala. The third case, and if there's any questions for the sisters, you're welcome to ask, inshallah. The third case of the istihada, the irregular menses, the irregular menstrual bleeding, is, and this is the hadith we're going to read now, inshallah. It will talk about third case. وَعَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ أُمْ حَبِيبَةَ بِنْتِ جَحْشِ شكت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دم فقال أمكثي قدر ما كانت تحبسك حيضتك ثم اغتسلي فكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة. Okay, so here this hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. And in Bukhari it says, وتوضئي لكل صلاة. This hadith is narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, who said that Habiba binti Jahash. Habiba was also one of the daughters of Jahash. She was the sister of Zainab binti Jahash. So she said that she complained to the Aisha, she narrates that Habiba complained to the Prophet ﷺ, and the blood that she was seeing. So he said to her, stay the length of time that you used to have your menses, and then take the ghusl. And then she used to take a ghusl for every prayer. In another riwayah of Bukhari, she made a wudu for every prayer. I will do for every prayer. Okay, so here, Shaykh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he brings a third hadith. A third hadith in the chapter on the menses. And this is going to be a third state. So we said in the beginning there are three states. There's actually four. Four types of istihada. The first one is the one where she can see the difference in the colors of the blood. The second is when she has no cycle, it's all the time bleeding, and she chooses the 6 or 7 days and begins and ends on those days every month. This is going to be the third. Habiba, she came to complain to the Prophet ﷺ about the blood. And what did he tell her? Here he didn't tell her to look for the color of the blood or even to stay a certain number of days every month, but he said, look at or consider your previous menses, the way that your cycle used to be. And then follow that pattern that you had before. Stick with that pattern that you had before that you are familiar with. Because every woman, many women, they have a familiar pattern that they're used to. Every month, they have a rough idea when the menses begin and end. So, he told her, whatever you used to be upon before, consider that your menses. And anything outside of that time that you used to have, anything beyond that that comes at a different time of the month that you're not used to, then she should consider that. What should she consider it? The istihada, right? The irregular bleeding. See that? There's a regular bleeding, the menses, and then there's the istihada. Right? So the time that she had, say she was used to having the menses 6 days every month, and they would start roughly in the beginning of the month and continue for 6 days and then stop. And so this was the pattern that she's used to every month. And then suddenly, 1 month, she has some bleeding beyond that time, the normal 6 days. The bleeding keeps going more than the 6 days, 7, 10, 12, 15 days. And this happens now. So what did the Prophet ﷺ advise her? I know this is a little bit complicated. Inshallah, may Allah help us to understand it. What he advised her is, think, what was your previous cycle like? Was it 6 days? Stick with the 6 days. Was it 8 days? Stick with the 8 days. Was it 5 days? Stick with the 5 days. See, so a woman, this is a case where a woman, she didn't always have istihada. She didn't always have the irregular bleeding, but the irregular bleeding started after some time. See, in the case before, in the case of Humna, she always had irregular bleeding. She never had a cycle to begin with. So she doesn't know where to begin from. She doesn't know how many days her cycle is. So the Prophet ﷺ said, take the average. Take 6 or 7 days. That's what average women they have every month. You follow that. But in this case, in the case here of Habiba, the Prophet ﷺ gave her a different advice. Because she already had a normal cycle. So what is her average cycle? She already knows. She's been used to that cycle that she had every month. It's always been 7 days. It's always been 5 days. So he's telling her, follow what your normal cycle was. Don't worry about, don't consider the other bleeding part of your normal cycle. Only what you normally had, continue and follow in that pattern. Because she didn't always have the irregular blood, the istihada. Habiba, it started afterwards. It started happening afterwards. You see the difference between this case and the one before? Or is everybody confused?
No.
Is it clear? The hadith before of Humna, she always has the bleeding the whole month. Never stops. And she never had any previous menses to know, to build upon. So for her, she chooses any day of the month to start and any day of the month to stop. Right? And also she didn't see any difference in the color of the blood or in the smell of the odor. So that was the case of Humna. In this case, here of Habiba, who's her sister, see how the Ibn Hajar, he brought each hadith in order, subhanAllah, to give the different rulings. He brings this hadith of the sister of Humna Her name is Habiba. Habiba, she did have a regular menses. It would start and stop, and then she would have a time of purity and a time of bleeding. So when she started having the istihaba, the irregular bleeding, the Prophet ﷺ, he told her, build on the cycle that you had before. Consider those number of days that you had before, those are your normal menses. And anything beyond that, on another day or other days, consider that to be irregular bleeding that does not affect your prayers and your fasting. This is the meaning of this hadith here, inshallah ta'ala. So she had, this is the case for a woman who has a normal cycle, but for some reason the cycle is irregular or abnormal for later on in her life, or during some other months it breaks the normal pattern. So in the case where a woman, she had a normal, every month she has a normal 6 month cycle, and then 1 month for some reason there's a bleeding, that she starts having the irregular bleeding. The Prophet ﷺ, he's saying to her, follow what you're used to. He left the matter up to the woman. He didn't ask her, what was your cycle before? He left it up to her, because women, they have the knowledge of their menses. He said, you know what your pattern was before, so stick with that. Stick with that pattern. He gave her the freedom, or the responsibility to take into account how many days she used to have the haid, and then to continue on that, and to continue on that. Now, so this is the ruling here, and this is what Imam Malik, he said. Imam Malik, he said that Allah Ta'ala put the matter of the haid upon the woman herself. He made her responsible. In this particular case, she is responsible to know her cycle. She should keep it in mind. She should keep track of what she had before, so that she can follow that pattern and continue it in the future, inshallah ta'ala. So it's a trust in the hands of the woman. This is what Imam Malik says. Okay, so then the Prophet ﷺ, he advised, Habiba, then you take the ghusl, and after your normal number of days is over, you do the ghusl, and you consider that you become pure. You consider that you become pure, and anything beyond that is, she should consider that the irregular blood that does not affect the prayers or the fasting. Now, and then you should make wudu for every prayer. This is what Imam Bukhari, he has stated. Now, okay, so here we get the ruling of, or the narration in Imam Bukhari, that you make the wudu for every prayer. And here this is what is the strongest view amongst the ulama, that the woman, she does one ghusl when the haid is over, and then she does a wudu for every prayer. Does she have to do the ghusl for every two prayers? Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, Fajr? Does she have to do that? She has to do a ghusl, full ghusl, from Dhuhr and Asr, for Maghrib and Isha, and for Fajr?
I'm guessing she had an irregular bleeding. Yes, you have to take the ghusl. So you have to get irregular bleeding.
Yes. She has an irregular bleeding. She already did the ghusl when her regular menses was over. She already did the ghusl when it was over. Now she still sees some blood, but she determines that this is not part of her normal cycle. Because normally her cycles, she does a wudu for every prayer, but does she have to keep doing ghusl for every two prayers, Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, and Fajr? Is it better for her to do that?
It's possible.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, in quwwiti, if you're strong. If you're strong, if it's easy for you, the water's not cold, it's not a hardship, there's enough water. It's something that is recommended, but it's not an obligation. And this is why, this is what we find when the ulama, they look at all the texts together, not just one text, but they take all the hadith together, this is the ruling that they come up with. That what she's required to do is only do one ghusl, and after that, she can do a wudu for every prayer. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to summarize everything, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah help us to understand. Okay, so the first hadith, the hadith of Aisha. The summary of this is that there's three types of irregular blood. Three types of istihaba. Istihaba, again, is bleeding outside of the normal menstrual cycle. The woman has a normal cycle, which is 6 or 7 days, or it could be up to 10, it could be as little as 2. But the istihaba is when the woman has a different kind of bleeding. And the istihadah does not prevent the woman from praying or fasting or having family relations. Only the menses does that. So the view, the three cases of istihadah. One, the woman, she has the dark blood. And the color is dark and it has an odor. And we mentioned that this is due to the things that are in the womb of a woman. So when the color changes, the Prophet ﷺ said the blood of the menses is dark and well known. So when the color changes, it becomes a light color, and it doesn't have the odor, then she knows that her menses is over. She knows her menses is over. This is case number one. Okay? Everybody got it?
Yes.
Case number two. Case number two is the woman, she always bleeds every day of the month, and always the same color. And she has no way of knowing when the color changes or the odor changes. She's always bleeding and she never had a menses before. She never had a cycle before. She never had a rhythm or a hayd before. It's always bleeding. So what does she do? In this case, what does she do? She chooses the beginning day and she does the average of women, which is 6 or 7 days. She doesn't pray, she doesn't fast. And then when that day is over, when that time is over, she takes a shower and then she starts praying and fasting like before. And that is based on her own choice. The third case is that the woman had a normal menses. It used to be normal. It used to be every month, 6 days a month. She knows that. And she knows roughly where it used to begin and where it used to end. And then suddenly she's having more bleeding beyond what her normal cycle is on other parts of the month or extra days that are not within her normal cycle. She sees blood all the time that she normally didn't see. But now she starts to see this blood all the time. So in this case, what does she do? She follows who? She tries to figure out what her cycle was before. This is what Imam Malik is explaining. Right, brothers? Let's say it. Come over here, come. MashaAllah. So, this is fiqh, inshallah. This is the laws of Allah Ta'ala. It's very important to learn the laws of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's good. I know it's something advanced. Come here. No, say it. Come over. Now, so the third case, she has to look back at what her previous experience is and build on that experience. Build on what her experience is. And stick with her own pattern that she had before. In all three cases, when her menses are over, she takes a shower, and then she makes a wudu for everybody. That's in all three cases. Is that clear for everybody? Should I say it one more time?
Clear.
Clear? Oh, mashallah. Good. Okay. Alright, good. Alhamdulillah. So this is the summary of the three hadith that we have studied. Okay? If she sees a difference in the color, it's no longer dark, it's bright, this is the end of the hayd. If she always has the menses, she chooses her cycle 6 or 7 days, and that will be her menses with Allah Ta'ala, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, and then she knows when to make tahara. In the third case, she had a normal cycle, she sticks with that, even if she sees the istihada afterwards, inshallah. Okay, so this is the three cases, inshallah, of the istihada. And so she has to make wudu for every prayer. If anybody was not here last week, the woman who has the istihada, she has to make a fresh wudu when the time comes in for each prayer. Now. Okay? And so the narration about doing the ghusl, this is considered something good, something mustahab, because it's more pure, it's more light. And this was the opinion of Humna herself. The scholars, they say, she was the one who said, that is more beloved to me. It was her own words, not the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Alright. I'm going to take a risk here. There's one more type of istihada. There's a fourth type. And this is, I don't want to confuse you too much, inshallah. Should I tell you about the fourth type?
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, if there's any questions, I'll take those.
There's like somebody bleeding like that, and she passed away. So why she didn't take medical? I know it's a prophet. I don't know if I said that every fast and pray he is seen as a prophet. Maybe Allah has them, but just stop praying as well. Right? So my question is that, if she continues bleeding,
yes,
she can pass away.
Yes.
So you said that Prophet Muhammad said that if she do the cycle and then follow the cycle, then make good through her first.
Yes, good.
If she fast and results, you see the success, what does that mean?
He said fast and pray after that?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, suppose now she continues bleeding, she could die with all the blood that passes out.
Ah, I see.
Right? You also said that the Prophet said that you see the success after that. What do you really mean that you start bleeding or you continue?
She sees what?
She sees success because you say fast and pray.
Success of that.
So what do you really mean? I just
you know. I don't understand the question here. What is the success of that?
Yeah.
The success. What is the reason?
That if you mean a lot of father to stop leave because it's the continuing thing.
Okay.
He wants to know whether it's medically, if that person can seek medical advice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
Or you know.
All right, I got the. All right, I got the. All right.
I want to talk about Allah's side, so.
Yes. All right. I think I got the question here. Question is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said it's a kick from the shaitan, right? I think, and some of the ulama said the shaitan, he wanted to confuse the woman. And so it's not a fault of her own, but the shaitan is trying to make her confuse as to when she can pray and not pray. Right? So the brothers asked him, does that mean that she's not allowed to seek medical help? If this is from the shaitan, does that mean that she's not allowed to seek medical help? No, that's not what is meant by the text here. Allahu Aman. The Prophet ﷺ commanded us to seek medical attention. Whenever we're sick, whenever we're ill, he said, take medicine for every illness there is. A medicine for you. Kulli da'in dawa. Every illness there is a cure. So certainly if somebody, they have an injury or they fear that they're having a lot of loss of blood, they should see a doctor and make sure that that is treated. Now, so this would go back to the issue of how did the scholars interpret that hadith? It's a kick from the shaitan. Some of them, they took it literally. And the fact that the shaitan wants to confuse a woman about her menses, it doesn't negate her ability to go and see a doctor about it. Say it is from the shaitan. He wants to confuse her about her menses. But does that mean she's not allowed to see a doctor? No, she can still see the doctor and get the illness treated if there's a need for that. So the cause of the harm, it's a the Some of the ulama took it literally, that the shaitan, he did it. Some of the ulama, they took it more metaphorically, that in some way, the shaitan, he wants to cause some harm to the woman to confuse her religion. Did he physically go and do that kick, or is it more of a metaphorical understanding? Allahu A'lam, there's a difference of views amongst the ulama. But in either case, it doesn't negate that a woman can go and seek medical attention. You know, seeking medical attention is always encouraged in Islam. It's always encouraged. The Prophet ﷺ, he encourages for every illness to seek a cure for it. But we shouldn't rely only on the medicine. We should also know that it's Allah Ta'ala who provides a cure for every illness. Allah, He's the one who causes the cure. He puts the benefit in the medicine. He causes. He gives us. He's the one who musabbib al-asbab. He's the one who taught us medicine. The knowledge of medicine, knowledge in itself is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. So now, somebody have a comment or a question? Yes.
Our next question.
Yes.
When a woman gives birth, before that, you know, like you said, there is one case where they have a regular before giving birth,
yes,
a different cycle.
Yes.
Then when they give birth, the cycle changes.
Yes, yes.
You know, in this case, what's the advice?
Okay, that's a very, very important question. The brother is asking the question that a woman, she was used to a certain cycle before her childbirth, and then after the childbirth, she sees some irregularity in the menses that she has. She sees some irregularity. So basically what she has to do is look at these three cases and see if she falls into one of these three cases. Number one, if she can see the difference in the color or the odor, then she follows that. And she knows when it ends, when the color becomes brighter and it doesn't have the odor anymore. If that doesn't apply to her, then number two, if she sees blood all the time, every day of the month, then she has to choose the 6 days for herself. But this is probably not going to be the case if she had a normal cycle before, because that's usually the case for a woman, she never had a normal cycle. The third case is if she had a normal cycle and now, after the childbirth, she sees some irregularities. If she can figure out roughly what she thinks her 6 days used to be, or what her number used to be, it's probably not going to change, because the Prophet ﷺ advised her to remember what her cycle was. So if she had a normal cycle of 7 days, then she can use that 7 days for after the childbirth and stick with that. And what's beyond those days, then she considers that the istihadah. And actually that brings us actually to the next topic. Is there any more questions up to here?
Yeah, one more question.
Yes, that's good.
Well, I tell you, I got a lot of questions. Yeah, Chef. Now, let's say, like a sister teaches, okay? And, like, the school is in the masjid.
No.
And, you know, what's the circumstances that...
You're talking about, can a woman who's in her menses enter the masjid?
Yes.
Is a question. Okay, very good question. Here with the scholars is there's two things that are come into play here. One is that for ibadah, the purposes of ibadah, the Prophet ﷺ, there's some text that he told women who were not in their menses to stay away from the prayer lines. So normally speaking, for the regular prayers, if a woman is in her menses, it's better for her to not pray, come to the masjid for the prayers. But if the woman is coming to learn and study her religion, then, and especially if in the West, women living in a place where it's not an Islamic environment, then coming to the masjid is almost essential. It's a durura. Because if a woman, she doesn't come to the masjid, or she misses out on the fard ayn knowledge, the obligatory knowledge, she'll be ignorant of her religion. She'll be detached from the house of Allah Ta'ala. So here, some of the ulama, they gave the ruling, the fatwa, that the woman, she can come for the classes and for other things, even in the state of menses. This is due to the necessity of her keeping her seeking knowledge and being in the environment of him. So even for, they gave that leeway. They gave that leeway. But if it's just for the purpose of worship, just to pray, it's better for a woman in her menses. Oh, she's not praying, obviously, but if she's in her menses, and she wants to come to the masjid and just to sit in the masjid or just to be, and there's no classes, there's nothing else, there's no reason for her to come and stay in the masjid. But if she was coming for some classes or coming to learn or coming to meet some Muslims and to strengthen her deen, then there is a leeway for that. There is a leeway for that, inshallah. Some of the ulama, they gave that fatwa, they gave that a woman, inshallah. It's a good question. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, any other questions? Alright. This is the last case of this time. And inshallah, next time we're going to move on to different subjects, inshallah. But the istihada, last case of the istihada, number 4, is the fourth case, which we didn't talk about before. This is when a woman, a girl, she becomes newly having the menses. A girl, she just became of age, and so she's newly having the menses. So in this case, oftentimes she'll be confused as to what is her cycle. She'll be confused because it will not, the bleeding will not be regular. She has no pattern to build on, and the blood might be in the beginning, it might not be consistent. So what does the girl in this case do? What does a woman or girl in this case, when she's newly beginning the menses, what does she do? Here they say the woman who has the istihada, in this case, the bleeding that doesn't have a regular clear cycle, for a girl, what she has to do is that there's two views amongst the ulama. Basically, the ulama, they say there's a minimum and a maximum length of the menses. And the minimum length, according to Abu Hanifa, is 3 days. The minimum length of menses is 3 days. And according to Abu Hanifa, the maximum length of the menses is 10 days. 10 days. And according to the Jumhur, the majority of the other three imams, they say the minimum length of the menses is 1 day and 1 night. And the maximum is 15 days. 15 days. This is the majority, Shafi, Ahmed, and Malik. Malik, and when it comes to prayer and fasting, he considers even the menses that are 1 minute, 1 hour, if a woman has a menses, then he considers that breaking her fast. So Ramadan, and Imam Malik said even 1 hour she has a bleeding, her fasting is broken. But when it comes to the divorce rulings, he said it has to be a day and a night, just like the rest of the imams. But in any case, the woman who has the new bleeding, she has no previous cycle. So here the ulama said that she can do one of two things. One is that she can avoid fasting and praying for the maximum length of the hayd, which is 15 days according to the majority. So she has the bleeding during that time. She doesn't know what is the menses. For 15 days, she doesn't pray, she doesn't fast. After the 15 days are over, then the three imams, the imams, they say 15 days is a maximum. You have to start praying now. So then she starts praying after the 15 days.
Repeat the fasting or no?
Repeat the fasting?
Yeah.
What happens in this case is that she doesn't fast. When a woman, she doesn't fast in her menses, she has to make up the days afterwards. Yeah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the woman in her menses, she doesn't pray and she doesn't fast, she makes up the fasting. Does she have to make up prayers? No. No making up the prayers. Only making up the fasting. So for the 15 days, She doesn't fast, she doesn't pray. And beyond that, that's the maximum. Can't be more than that. So then she starts fasting and praying. And so the same thing happens the next month. And she does this for 3 months. Until usually after 3 months, the cycle becomes clear. Either she can see the difference in the color by that time, or she has an idea of what her period is going to be, her menses are, and then she follows that. So she does that, yarhamukumullah. She does that for 3 months. She fasts and prays. She 15 days is the maximum. Beyond that, she starts praying and fasting. She does the wusul. This is one of the views. The second view is of the imams is that she goes by, to be on the safe side, she goes by the minimum menses, which is 2 days. So to be on the safe side, she stops praying and fasting for just 2 days. And then after that, she starts praying and fasting. Because to be on the safe side, you know, the menses, she doesn't know when it is, but it's going to be 2 days, could be more than that, but she goes by the minimum number of days, the 2 days, and then she starts praying and fasting after that. After that. And then after 3 months, she'll realize, she'll figure out what her number of days are after the 3 months. This is the one last thing that on the istihada. I hope that is clear. I'll repeat it one more time. For the woman who's newly having the menses, either she stops praying and fasting for 15 days, which is the maximum of the menses, and then after that, she makes ghusl and she starts praying and fasting every day after that. This is for a girl who just reached the age of puberty, right? Is everybody here? This is very important for a lot of girls because they might not know this. A lot of girls, I'm sure, they don't know this. So when they reach that age, they don't know what to do. So it's very important to know this for women. When she reaches that age, if she doesn't know what her cycle is, she stays away from praying and fasting for 15 days, and then after that, she does the ghusl and she prays, even if she sees the bleeding after that. And then, so this is the one view, and she does this for 3 months until her cycle becomes clear for her. The second view is she takes the safe side, and the minimum of the menses is 2 days. So for the 2 days she sees the bleeding, she stops praying during those 2 days. And then after that, she does the ghusl and she starts praying and fasting, even if she sees the blood. Because she doesn't know what her menses are, so to be on the safe side, she's still going to pray. She just has to make the wudu for every prayer, and she prays after that. And then after the 3 months are over, she should figure out what her normal cycle is going to be after that, inshallah ta'ala. And in the case that she realizes her menses are longer than 2 days, then she would have to make up the fast that she did when she was actually menstruating. She made the ghusl and she thought she was pure, or she had that istihada, she has to make up those days, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the view amongst the ulama. So the important thing here is that we have to know the maximum of the menses is 15 days, minimum is 2 days, according to the Jumhur, inshallah ta'ala. So that is the view. Yes?
Can you explain the women in the Hajj?
Yes.
Can you explain the Umrah part, if she has during the Hajj?
Oh, okay. Very good question. MashaAllah. The woman is in the Hajj. This is a very, very important issue. The woman goes for Hajj, and it's once in a lifetime. And she has to do her Hajj, but she has the menses. What does she do in that case? If she doesn't go to the Haram, she misses her Hajj. Maybe she'll never come back again. Right? So here, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Aisha, she had her menses, he said, do everything that the Hujjaj do, except the Tawaf. Do everything else. She can go to Arafah, she can go to Safa and Marwa even. She can do everything that the Hajjaj do, go to Mina, throw the stones. She does everything. The only thing she doesn't do in the menses is the Tawaf. So what does she do about the Tawaf? If you don't do Tawaf, your Hajj is invalid. So what does she do?
Sacrifice.
Do a sacrifice? sacrifice cannot make up for rukun. It can make up for missing something else. Like say she missed the stoning, she can do a sacrifice. But the Hajj, there are certain pillars that have to be done. Arkan, they're called. One of the pillars is, the main pillar is going to Arafah. We have to do tawaf. You have to do sa'i. You have to wear the ihram. These things cannot be made up by sacrificing, because they're pillars of the Hajj. So what does she have to do in this case? The scholars say that she does everything else, and she should wait in Mecca until she becomes pure. And the last thing she does is she does the tawaf, that is the rukun of the Hajj. And she waits, and then she does the tawaf, and then she leaves. So she can delay it. Normally that tawaf is on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the 10th, the day of Eid. That's when they do the main tawaf, the tawaf of Ifadah. She doesn't do that. She does the sacrifice, she can stone it, do the stoning, she can do the sa'i. But she doesn't do the tawaf. She waits, and even after the 3 days in Mina, the 3 days of stoning, the 13th, she can come back and do her tawaf. It's allowed to do that. What if, yes?
She climbs the mountain of Arafah?
Climbing the mountain of Arafah for a woman in her menses or for anybody else is not from the Sunnah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
No,
going to the Arafah, that plane, yes. There's no, that she had, she should go there, yes. The woman in the menses, she does everything except tawaf. She does everything except tawaf. She can go to Arafah. But climbing the mountain, it's not from the Sunnah. They say that, you see the people climbing up on the day of Arafah, they say that's not really from this one. The Prophet has never climbed up the mountain. So, nah. She should go to the plain of Arafah. That's a good question. So if she can put that off till the end and then do the tawaf, that's fine. What if her flight is leaving and she's still in her menses? And if she doesn't do the tawaf, she's going to miss her whole Hajj for that year. She won't be able to come back again. So here, in this case, the ulama made an exception also. They gave an exception that she should cover herself properly, make sure that there's no chance of any blood polluting anything, and she makes the tawaf and leaves after that. This is one exception that they make for the woman. She has the menses and she cannot stay any longer, and she's going to miss her Hajj for that year, and she will not be able to come back easily to complete her Hajj. So then they gave that exceptional case. That's only for the tawaf al-ifadah, the mandatory pillar Hajj tawaf. That's not for the tawaf al-wada, the farewell tawaf. That's something she can skip. For a woman in her menses, she doesn't have to do the farewell tawaf. It's forgiven for her. She doesn't have to do it. But the one that's a pillar of the Hajj, the tawaf al-ifadah, and she's going to miss her flight, then in case of this necessity, then they allow her to do that. But she should try to wait till the end, and if she gets pure, then she can do that, inshallah ta'ala. That's one of the what the scholars are saying on that issue, inshallah. No, hold up. The sisters, you can pass up any questions you have if you want. No.
Like, especially when the Hajj season is, you know, like they use a special type of prescription or tablet or something that controls it.
Yes.
Is it permissible or is it?
Yes. Yeah, it's allowed to do that. Yes. The ulama say that the women, they can take some pills that prevent the hayd, and if she wants to do this during her Hajj, then she's allowed to do that. That's allowed to do that, inshallah. Some women, they want to permanently stop their hayd. They always take the pills. They don't want to have the hayd anymore. Is that something good? The Prophet ﷺ said the menses is something Allah has written on the daughters of Adam. It's something part of the nature that, for Allah's wisdom, He created this in the woman. And now, so something that you wouldn't want to alter without a reason for it. Especially since a lot of times the women who take those pills, if afterwards they want to start, when they go back or they stop taking the pills, it can create confusion for them regarding their menses. So it's allowed to do it, to take them pills if, for the Hajj and things like that, but it's not something that should be done without consulting a doctor first. Alhamdulillah. Good question. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions, inshallah? Naam Sirifi. Is this Suhail? Comment, question? Sisters, any comment or question? Where's Nusayr? Where's Nusayr? Can you go check to see if the sisters have any question? Want to make sure they're listening too, so check on. It's very important for the sisters to learn the ilm too. And very, very important, you know. And we should teach our wives and our families too these rulings. So, many people, many women in general, many men, they don't know the rulings regarding the Tahara. So very important that we teach our families, inshallah, because this is the ibadah of worship. No? Okay. Alright. Inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.